It's funny that Australians are caring for our country more than ourselves. So that's the...
I mean, that says something. That's showing people we are not caring enough about it.
Aloha. Aloha, Terrell.
Aloha, Deidre.
And aloha to everyone out there, too.
Yes, aloha to you folks.
Because right now, we are about to dive into some pretty interesting topics.
One's relationships and hardships.
To one's childhood and trip down memory lane.
That's right. We are ready to talk it all.
So join us in our show,
DT Talks.
Aloha, everyone.
Aloha.
Welcome back to our new episode here at our DT Talks podcast season 2. And this episode today is really special. It's a very special title and we'll explain about it. And it's called Be the Solution, Not the Problem. Pollution. Never mind. Let me say it again. We'll explain why we're calling it Be the Solution, Not the Problem.
You did it again.
I did it again. Okay. We'll explain why we're calling it Be the Solution, Not the Pollution. There we go.
Yes, there we go. That is the title. Okay, so many of us, there is that feeling where we want to belong somewhere, we want to contribute to society. The question right now is, how often do we feel that one of us is contributing or doing our part in helping society?
Yeah, it's a wonderful question, and it's something we all of us need to ponder about sometimes, because we want to get into that wonderful part of the episode and our special guest as well. We'll just go to the news first. This is Uncle Taro back at it again with our wonderful news from goodnewsnetwork.org. This week news very special because it's all about the studying of during lockdown shows video gaming, even for hours, can help your mental health.
Really?
Yes.
No, it's just reminding me back of that old news before where people say video gaming is really good for your mental health.
Yes. Now, this is the extra kind of information that all of us can know more about it. It says here, a study published by the University of Oxford has demonstrated that video gaming during lockdowns increased mental well-being due to a variety of factors, and that time spent playing was not the most critical factor. So basically, during this pandemic, a lot of people have too much free time, and then they use their time to play video games. The most popular games that people are playing right now are Animal Crossing and Plant vs. Zombie.
Aren't those old games?
Animal Crossing is old, but there's one new one that came out a few months ago and everyone is very hyped about it. But the cool part about this is that people are becoming less stressed, and out of 3,274 players of Plant vs. Zombie and Animal Crossing, they all completed this survey saying that mental health has helped them a lot, especially when they play games. Even still, according to the news itself, it says there were only 20 players who repeated negative mental well-being that had logged 40 or more hours in Animal Crossing. To those who play too much Animal Crossing, you need a break. 40 hours is too long. What you want to waste that time for? You can do better things besides using that 40 hours to play Animal Crossing.
What do you suggest?
I suggest you to not play so long. You know, your eyes will spoil. And then what happened to your hands after that? All become very numb because you use this time to play 40 hours. Please don't play too much. It's good for mental health, less than 20 hours. So please, we use time wisely. Uncle Taro don't like this practice, please.
Yes, that is Uncle Taro's suggestion, guys. You should listen to him.
Especially the fact that this is helping people to be less stressed is also a good thing. And it helps you to enjoy your moment and also good social interaction, because most of these are online games. So it's also very good. This is the end of the news. Take it away, Deidre.
Okay, thank you, Uncle Taro, for sharing that news. So for you gamers, yes, I guess it is good for your mental health, but don't forget to socialize with other people too, okay? Right now, my part's not going to be news anymore. I'll actually be sharing you, I'm going to try this segment where I'll be sharing you funny things that normal people do. For today, for example, I'm going to share you, these are actual things people wrote where it's funny things spouses have done in their sleep.
In their sleep?
In their sleep. Okay, so their spouse recorded this, like they took note of what they did. So let me just share with you some.
Okay.
So the first one, okay. First one says, my husband is a truck driver and I woke up once to him shifting gears with my leg.
Shifting gears with what?
With her leg. Okay,
with
so this
leg.
Lady. Yeah, this lady, yeah. Her husband's a truck driver, of course, you know, they have to use this gear. So she woke up to him shifting gears with her leg.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel about that, but I wouldn't want someone shifting gears.
I mean, like, that's an interesting dynamic in that couple specifically, so.
And then the second one, okay. Second one is, my husband once rolled over, nudged me, and then whispered, do you see them? They see you.
What
I'll be terrified.
Heck, interesting chemistry right there.
I don't want to be woken up like that. The third one. Okay, this will be the last one. Once, my husband tried to cuddle my big toe, thinking it was our newborn baby.
What the heck? Next level.
I don't know if that's a really big toe, but yeah.
Has to be a really big toe, lah. Unless that's a micro baby, but yeah. Pretty interesting, pretty interesting.
I know. It's just interesting how normal people are and what they're experiencing. Okay, so that was the news. And that was the funny things that normal people do. So enough of us speaking because we have a special guest with us today.
Yeah, and he's from all the way in Malaysia, where Deidre is right now, if you guys don't remember. To our dear friend, would you mind introducing yourself to our wonderful listeners?
Hello, my name is Dylan and I'm from Ipoh in the state of Para. So my current job is actually related to parking, secure parking, how we help people to feel secure during the parking systems. But my real passion is to be educated in aquatic life and also to protect aquatic life in their ocean by not disturbing their lifestyle of cycle.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool, honestly. Yeah, I mean, well, obviously, Dylan, we're glad to have you as our guest today. So how do you feel like being our guest on this episode?
I feel excited. It's probably my first time getting into a podcast. I'm eager to share my opinions and how I can spread awareness together with you guys.
Yes, yes. Can I be...
You don't feel sleepy?
Well, like, just so you guys know or don't know, the recording time for the Malaysians there is like, what, 7 a.m. right now? So they basically just woke up like half an hour or 50 minutes ago or whatever. So...
I'm very sorry, Dylan.
It's okay, but luckily I prepared it like for a few days ago for this podcast.
Yeah, pretty good. You know, we don't have to worry about what not to say. But yeah. Anyways, guys, Dylan, we're glad that you are our guest today. So be sure to sit back, you know, relax as much as you can because you are the guest star of the show.
Wow, what a way to make him feel extra special. And it ties in really well because Dylan's passion, he said, is related to
aquatic protection.
So this goes very well with our topic.
And so, can I be honest with you for this specific topic? I have almost no clue, like, what to talk about. It's almost like the exact same episode of Diwali. I have no clue. Like, I know what the basic thing is, but generally, like, I'm aware. But obviously, Dylan would know more, and that's why we have him as our guest today. So, yeah.
Don't worry. There are also people out there who are not too sure about this. That's why this episode is going to bring awareness.
Okay.
Would you like to start first, Jarell, or do you want me to start?
I can start first. So Dylan, why you're so passionate in aquatic environment especially? What made you, what drives you wanting to do this?
I would say like when I was very young as a kid, my parents loved to bring me to aquarium to visit fishes, all those living things in the ocean. There are a bunch of groups and children, you know, gathered together in one place, and then there will be a little small cinema to show how aquatic life came to be and how people are trying to protect those fishes in the sea and how they will balance human diet by using fish, because fish is one of our food chain. So they will educate you all kind of information, knowledge that you need concerning about the ocean and how to protect it. And as a kid, I love to go and touch all those aquatic lives and get understanding why, you know, as a kid, you get to color the ocean, the sea and all those aquatic life, like lots of lovely colors. But as you grow older, it was start to see like the sea getting either it's going to be green, yellowish, all the rivers and streams, they become different colors. And as I grew up, I started to wonder like, what did I learn? what I learned as a kid is so much different than as you grow up as an adult and see what's so different about how those aquatic lives get affected as you read the news, you read newspaper, you follow some scientists, I know YouTube, and then you saw some videos that concerning how harmful it is that we as human has did to the ocean, forest, and all sort of environment damage that we did. That's how the passionate came to be, and as I wish to give myself a try to protect the ocean and other environmental related topics.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Yeah. He's our Malaysian Aquaman, basically. So he wants to protect the seas, wants to protect the waters. That's pretty cool. That's a first time of me hearing something or someone who is passionate about this, because something closer than that is probably I have a friend who wants to feed dolphins. Not just feed dolphins, but he wants to he wants to study about dolphins. So I forgot what that job description is, but that's what he wants to do. And I feel like that's related to what you're doing right now. So that is pretty cool, and I think like having that passion does help you to become more aware of what's going on around you, and obviously environment is a big thing around the world, and,
mm-hmm. and I think this yeah. points out why people say kids are so observant. They really are, because you never notice what you've been noticing as a child until you've grown up, especially. Yeah, I like how you notice the difference in the ocean itself. The color itself was already changing, so that says a lot.
Yeah, and yes. like in Hawaii waters, it's very hard for you to see any green or yellowish kind of water.
So I beg like... to differ, actually.
Oh, you saw some when you were there?
Oh, yes. Which is what I'll talk about later.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So let me ask you a question too, Dylan. Like, you noticed this issue going on. Do you feel enough people know about this issue?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, okay, why not?
I would say many people like me, like everybody goes to aquarium before the MCO, obviously, yeah. all this pandemic going on. People love to go, they hang out as a family, they get fed a bunch of knowledge from like what I say, the shows, the little cinema, slideshows, experience with other aquatic lives when they are educated, but they never really understand. They get into their knowledge, but they never get into their heart with that feeling how those things are starting to be affected by us humans. So I feel like people know enough, but they don't understand enough.
Ooh, quote of the day from Dylan.
And then I feel like especially in Malaysia, like even though we were taught when we were really young at school and like what you said about at cinema and aquariums and at zoos, we never really practice like throwing rubbish or throwing garbage in the right place.
Yeah. Firstly, we blame the issue because they don't provide enough trash cans everywhere.
Yeah, honestly, that's kind of true. But the thing is, they did provide it, but I feel like there's not enough people show the example to do it, because we were always taught like, okay, you have to, there's the recycle bins here, like red, there's no red, blue, orange, and brown, and then like the other color is like the normal rubbish. But we were taught that these things exist, but then we never practice them. It's really weird. But what do you guys think so? Like, why don't we all practice this?
For that one, I feel because remember in school, we get split up about having moral class and others not having moral class. So I think that's one thing that also contributes to it, because they make us memorize things but not actually practice doing things.
I feel like they did help us practice it when we were in primary school, but when we were in secondary school, there was no emphasis of anything about this. And they always talk about, oh, we have to like work together, we have to keep the environment clean, we have to clean together at school. And then yeah, but like outside of school, they never like emphasize anything about it. It's only like small awareness on like commercials, and then there's less practice of it, and it's very unfortunate. And I think it is something that we often don't practice what we were told, and so that really sucks, to be honest.
They made us memorize more instead of practicing more.
Yeah, that's just how it is.
To be honest, like there's not much such protection campaigns going on in school places anymore like last time.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I think like there should also be an emphasis, like what you said about aquatic lives are endangered or are in danger, that they are harmed because of the rubbish that we're throwing in the waters or in the seas and all that. So this is from me especially, like I was never taught any of this. I was only made available to have this knowledge when I watch on YouTube and basically when I go to another country when they emphasize a lot on commercials, and I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting. If there's anything that Malaysia can emphasize, it's probably like keep the waters cleaner, and then so that we don't have to see how green it is all the time. I'm just kidding. I'm not putting down my own country. Anyway,
I believe people do need to get more educated in the sense of protecting the environment, because people are not very well educated at first. There's a nearby river not far from where I stay. It was always brown due to rain, and we are very close to a mountain. So obviously, whenever it rains, the river will get yellowish. Mm. But what makes me sad is that whenever I drive by that bridge over there to go home, I always saw someone on a motorcycle, and they just threw a bag of trash inside the river. And yeah, that's not a very good sight to be seen.
Yeah, it's not nice to see.
That's just how it is sometimes. I feel kind of sad to be honest, like people do that. But what to do? We are basically the future generations.
No, it shouldn't be what to do.
No, I'm saying we are the future generations to change others' mindset of this, because I feel like it is part of their old culture and part of practice, and it's more of just laziness, to be honest. I'm sorry, but I think it is. You're very lazy.
It's laziness. Yeah.
Yeah, you are very lazy for not like keeping the environment clean. Anyways, let's move on to the next question before we ramble more about this.
Yeah, okay. Terrell, don't ramble.
So for you, Dylan, especially, why do you want to help the environment?
That's a very obvious question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an obvious question.
For first, I think I miss out one of my passions, that I actually love to swim. I'm sure Deidre knows that I love to swim.
Yeah.
I love to go to beaches and other countries, seaside, you know. And when I see the sea is blue, there's aquatic life roaming around and happy around. But of course, obviously, it's not sharp, you know, when I'm swimming on the sea. not those times. But it's good to observe, you know, investigate or survey around other countries, how they do to protect their beaches and their seas. You know, there's one other time I walk up to Penang, there are some trash that wash up from the seaside. And there's another part that's pretty clean, but I'm sure the only part that where the trash washed up is where those people love to go there doing picnic. In the end, they didn't really clean up the beach, and then they just throw it back to the sea. And then the sea just push it back to the sand, you know?
Yes.
So that looks kind of funny. In other countries, they, like Deidre say, they put enough trash cans, and then they have signboard, they have banners that encourage people, and they have, I don't know what they call that, probably guards near the beach to show them where should they discard the rubbish, plastic, and all sort of things.
Yeah.
And then they keep the whole beach clean. And I'm sure that's what they do in Hawaii as well, right? I don't know. What can you share with me in Hawaii?
Very interesting. I think, honestly, Dylan, you are a Hawaiian boy for sure if you ever come here, because you'll go to the beach every day. I guarantee that.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, about the beaches in Hawaii, like, as far as I know, there's no guards, but I feel like because Hawaiian people are very passionate in their own tradition, their own island itself, and that's why they keep it clean. And that's why also there's a lot of parts of Hawaii, they want to keep it as
spiritual.
Keep it spiritual. Well, and they want to
like Moana.
Like
for Hawaiians, like Terrell saying, for that's their island, that's their home, and they want to protect it, and they are very passionate about it. But at the same time, of course, like we said, no matter what, like even if it's your home, there are people who will still be probably lazy, or just they do not care so much. They think other things are more important. So a lot of them, from what I see, they really throw trash around the beach area. People don't necessarily have to throw trash into the ocean. It's from outside where the wind picks it up, or even when you're on the beach and you don't clean up after yourself, wind picks it up, or the tide picks it up, and then it gets into the ocean. So that's what happens in Hawaii. I remember the first time that I went to the beach in Hawaii, I was expecting like what you see in the movies, like you want, this blue ocean and so clean and clear. I was expecting that. Yes, there are parts of Hawaii like that, but there are many beaches where I went and it was trash. First thing I see was trash on the sand. And then when I got in the ocean, I was swimming, I stepped on trash. I stepped on sharp things, and it wasn't sea animals or whatever. It was trash. in the ocean. I was really shocked. And then that's why in the school, there's like almost every semester there'll be beach cleanups. Even after the cleanup, there's still so much trash left over. So even though people portray it as like, oh, it's paradise and such, the reality is there are still people who don't take good care of what they have. No matter where you go, I feel like sometimes... people just don't appreciate the environment enough.
This is a question for you. How long it takes for a campaign, like after you clean up and then you rearrange another campaign to clean up again? How long does the period take?
Like for school ones, when we discuss it, we will plan it out a few months ahead and then try to ensure that there's at least one club that's doing something for the beach.
It's not
often enough, but at least I would say every few months there will be some sort of beach cleanup, something to help the environment.
Yeah, usually...
every few months.
Yeah,
every 3 to 4 months, I'd say just about. Honestly, you can even ask for services in the school because they also provide any kinds of service that you can think of. And then like you can also bring the problem. I'll be like, oh, I saw this specific place. The beach is not like really clean. Maybe that's a suggestion that we can clean this spot, and then they'll think about it. They'll organize it really well, and then you can just do the service itself. So I feel like the resources at school in BYU Hawaii is very flexible in that. They usually take action as long as you say something. It is very different, but at least we're taking action here. So very interesting. Yeah, one thing I want to point out from Dylan is that you said that, oh, maybe you can have guards in the beaches and then they can be the one that's enforcing the rules to them that they are throwing trash. I feel like it's a great opportunity to open up for more job opportunities because obviously there's not enough jobs in the world, and I feel like this would be a possible opportunity for people to do it, and it is a great chance for them to have a new job and keeps the beach clean, if anything. Yeah,
I strongly believe that as for like protection for the green, the oceans, you have to be very strict. As we can see, like our neighbor country, you know, they don't have beach guards or any other guards. They are just straight up police officer, like going around the city. They're just doing normal patrolling, and then if they see anybody who throw trash on the street, they just fine them, like, they'll give them a fine. For protection wise, I say you have to be very strict. You have to be not lazy, because if you are lazy, then there's no more green tomorrow, you know.
Yeah,
because
that's
every
true.
Day if we are not aware, we only make it worse.
That's
yeah,
true.
I agree. Okay, now let me ask you another question, Dylan. What do you do to help the environment?
Okay, for first, I will encourage my friends, people around me, like families and friends, because those are the ones that I will probably meet every day, literally every day or every other week. I think the easiest way is to spread between the people that you are close with first. Then probably if you are passionate enough, you probably start up a little small campaign or some cleaning works or charity, you know. One thing that I see is that as we Malaysians, like Taro said, I'm not trying to bring down my own country, but we didn't do enough campaigns for ourselves. You see, in Pulau Tioman, the Tioman Island on the north, they are actually Australians who are doing that for us. They're running a campaign called the Sea Monkey Project. According to YouTube, what I saw, they're having Australians, okay, the founder is Australian girl. They have a bunch of Australians and they're united with some of the Malaysians. They clean up the beach. They clean up literally like twice a week on Tioman Beach because as we know, Tioman Island is one of the famous tourist spot before all the pandemic stuff. So they clean up, they pick up all the plastic bottles, the wine bottles, and then they recycle it. Another founder, he is trying to use all this plastic. He invented a machine called the Asher that actually turns everything into dust. A very long process. I can't really...
It's okay. No need to tell all the process.
Yeah, but I feel like it's very helpful and without emission, without petrol. Okay, so I feel like the one part is other country, you know, where Australians are trying to help the beach. And then the second part is where the Malaysian has invented the machine trying to make everything become dust, and then you can use it for fertilization. So as you can see, all this campaign, it actually moves me, you know, touches me that everybody who have better knowledge, educated in protecting the environment, coming to help those countries who are less educated or do not know how to taking care of their own beaches. Or forest.
Starts off with something, even something where, like you said, just talking about it with family and friends, that makes big difference for sure.
Yeah, and it does definitely help, like, the fact that when people are making that step to do so, and it does help people to understand what's going on in life, and especially what's happening in the environment. And I feel like it is really helpful that there are people who are... It's funny that Australians are caring for our country more than ourselves. So that's the...
I mean, that says something. That's showing people we are not caring enough about it. Other people do.
Oh my goodness, that is a sad reality sometimes.
Because it becomes a vicious cycle, you know. when I saw the news, I think last year, I remember there's one very impactful one. It was Bill Gates working with another charity foundation who were trying to save the water. As we all know, science proven that's probably only 75% seawater, and then freshwater, we only like roughly have 25% throughout the earth. And then some of them are locked into the iceberg and glacier in northern and southern areas. So most of the freshwater, it goes to plantation, and some is just casual use and house. And sometimes we leave the water running without...
Without turning it off.
Yeah, without turning it off, we just let it run, you know, without
any... When you're brushing your teeth, conscious. And you just let it run.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's a bad practice, guys.
I don't do that, but yeah.
I'm guilty as charged, honestly. I'm sorry.
Oh,
guys.
Really?
It's okay. We all need to put practice. We can practice, right?
Practice now.
Habits, you know, it becomes habit. Because when you see in Africa, why I call it a cycle is because when people are sick because of unclean water or because of, you know, they are famous of a lot of viruses, bacteria going on, then people become desperate. And then when they're desperate, they want something from other countries or their neighbor country. They will start out a terrorism, they'll start out a war, and then to rob people's fresh water or some stuff like that. So it actually goes the cycle around. That will create depression, desperation in such country and the people, and then it will go on, like much more worse cases happen later on.
Yeah, that's actually true. Even if we don't realize it, all these little things that we take for granted, other people lack it, and then they get desperate for it, and then it causes conflict after that. Yeah, based on like what Dylan's been saying is very true. I actually feel that there's so much, like all of us, we can do, especially for the environment. Because when I was younger, I also loved learning about animals. I had so many books about not just dinosaurs, but animals and wildlife. I had so many books on them, and I always wanted to learn more about them. And you know what was my favorite show, guys?
Pingu.
Madagascar.
What? No. Oh my gosh. I said show. Pingu, what the heck?
It's a show.
Madagascar.
Okay, Happy my Feet? Favorite show. No, it was The Crocodile Hunter, okay?
Oh.
What show is this?
That's classic. What?
Steve Irwin.
No, Taro.
Is it that one?
You went to Australia.
I don't know the show name. What is it about?
Crocodile Hunter.
You've never seen it.
From Steve Irwin?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
I loved his show because he had so much passion about animals, not just animals, but the environment as well. He had many
episodes
where he talked about it, and that sparked so much interest in me when I wanted to learn about the environment. And I feel we all need more shows like that, guys. We need more shows like that for kids now.
No, we just need more Steve Irwins.
Well, sadly, one of a kind, Steve Irwin.
He's
a
legend.
He's a legend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He is a legend. I remember he sparked so much that knowledge in me and that interest in the environment and wildlife. And I feel people really need to appreciate wildlife because once it's taken away, guys, oh no.
Yeah, it's gone forever.
It's so sad. Yeah, it's going to be very hard and very sad right now.
Yeah, but hashtag rest in peace, Steve Irwin. You'll always be remembered. Even though I don't know your show name, but all of us did.
Oh my gosh,
who you are, at least.
I was so shocked when you said you didn't know that.
Well, I don't know the show. I just know the guy who does the
show. It's okay. Now
show.
You can start watching online.
You can rewatch all the previous episodes.
Yes. And then spread that awareness,
spread the awareness.
There we go.
Spread it any way you can.
All right.
Okay.
We'll move to our awesome next segment to Deidre right now. Take it away.
All right, guys. So we've been having this awesome discussion about the pollution and how we want to be the solution. Okay, so right now, I'm just going to play this little activity with you guys. It's like a quiz. It's going to be fun. I just want to see if you guys know how to answer this. This is for Dylan and Terrell to answer.
Okay.
And
okay.
If our listeners know the answer, that would be great. So this little activity, I shall call it, do you know how to go green? Okay, so I'm going to ask you a few questions, guys. I'll give you multiple choice to pick from, and you just tell me what you think is the answer, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Question number one. Which uses less water? Washing dishes by hand or using a dishwasher? So A, dishwasher, B, by hand.
Dishwasher.
Which one uses less water? Okay, he says dishwasher. How about you, Tara? I'll just answer. How about you, Dylan?
Well, I gotta go with the hand. I never used a dishwasher before.
Okay. All right. So the actual answer is dishwasher. It uses less water.
Yep. All right. Go get one.
It's something we don't have. It's something we don't have in Malaysia, unfortunately. I knew this because I used it in Australia, and they actually told me about this, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is an interesting information. But I still wash dishes with my hands anyway, so.
Yeah.
That's our tradition, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next question. Number two. Mm-hmm. Which supermarket bag is more eco-friendly? Is it A, plastic, B, paper, or C, neither?
Neither.
Okay.
I'll go paper.
Which one is more eco-friendly? Okay, so Terrell says neither and Dylan said paper. Okay, the actual answer is neither.
Oh no!
We shouldn't use plastic and we shouldn't use paper. Because paper come from trees too.
Yeah, that's true.
So what can we do instead? We can use reusable bags, guys. I have so many reusable bags at home.
Yeah, I mean, like, there also should be an emphasis that you should be reusing the plastic bags that you got it from anywhere, from shopping malls and all that. And also, it's the same thing with the paper bag. You know, it's some paper bags are biodegradable, but even then, you still should reuse it. That way, it won't hurt the environment so much.
All right, next question, guys. So, appliances that are turned off, they don't use any electricity. Is it true or false?
False.
Appliances that are turned off, they don't use electricity. Okay, he says false. What about you?
Yeah, same. False.
Okay, you're both correct. Very good.
Why though? Why, Deidre?
Because the current still, I don't know how to say it still flows.
It still flows. I remember watching a show. I forget what show is that. It says switch off, save planet. But actually, it doesn't work that way.
Oh. You know why I know about this? Is that one time I was reading a news in Malaysia. There was a lady who saved so much money because she switched off every single, not the appliances, but the switches that's power switches. She switched off every power switches every day, and she wanted to see what the results were. And shockingly, she saved over 1,000 ringgit, if not 2,000 ringgit, of not using electricity. So I guess, like, a pro tip for Malaysians, or just in general, anyone who wants to save money, don't just turn off your appliances. Literally switch off your power switches so that you don't have to...
I cannot live. I need my fan on, guys.
Well, just so you guys know, what I meant about power switches is the one that's on the wall. That's like, not the big ones, but the one where you plug in stuff.
Yeah.
So you want to save electricity, just turn that off and you'll save a lot of energy.
All right. Well, I have two more questions for you guys.
Okay.
All right. So question number four. Which of these can you not recycle? Okay. Is it A, glass, B, tin cans, C, paper, or D, pens and pencils? Which one can you not recycle?
Pens and pencils.
Pens and pencils. Glass, tin cans, paper, pens and pencils. Is that the same for you, Dylan?
I think all of them are recyclable because of the guy who invented the Asher.
Oh,
the Asher. Okay. Okay. And I guess this doesn't work for
the question itself.
Doesn't apply then.
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to that guy for inventing that.
But what's your correct answer, Deidre?
It was pens and pencils.
It's a pencil, right? Pens and pencil. Yeah.
Last question, guys. Last question. Which will help you save water? Is it A, leave the tap running while you brush your teeth? B, flush the toilet 3 times? C, have a long, deep bath every day? Or D, have a quick shower?
It's a very hard
Such
question.
Such a hard one, yeah? Such a hard one.
I think it's A, yeah? Just kidding.
Yeah, since he doesn't leave the tap running.
No, not just that. I shower like almost every day for 20 minutes. You know why?
Really?
Why?
Because I brush my teeth while I'm showering. And
okay.
I wash my face also. Yeah.
Yeah, I also wash my face when I shower.
But anyways, the answer is D.
Yes, Dylan, any comments?
I'll just go brush my toilet without water.
What the heck? Okay, that's a way of saving water. But yeah, the correct answer is yeah, have a quick shower.
Quick shower.
Now we know how Dylan and Terrell are with their ways to go green.
Man, you know what's what's crazy about this is that I know all these things and I don't practice them.
You see,
I got all of the questions correct. You know, I already studied this before. I did it at school and then
and
never.
You don't do it?
Yeah, so I'm like, I should be ashamed.
This proves my point. They make us memorize so much and know so much, but don't practice it.
I think people are aware, it's just they don't do it.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, it doesn't get into their heart, like I say, I guess.
Unless you're passionate like Dylan, then yeah.
Yeah, we need more people like Dylan.
I'm still trying to spread the awareness.
Hey, but you're doing a good job though, you know, like being an example to others to see and what it feels like to be in that position itself, because it's not easy to keep the environment clean. And obviously it doesn't help the fact that people don't practice it. But with you showing that example, it does help people to know how important it is to keep the environment clean, the oceans clean, and just anything to keep our world to become a better place.
Like, I don't know about you, Terrell, but I feel like, Dylan, have you heard, like, in my state, in Selangor, we had 9 water cuts this year.
Yeah, I know the water got cut, but...
Yeah, it's all because of pollution, and people don't think that pollution to the water would lead to water cut for millions of people to not have water for many days, and it saves so much.
Like, is it a lot of factory around there to...
Yeah, it's like factories that polluted, so it's like people are not, firstly... factories, they're not even supposed to do that, and then there's no people like checking up on them because they've done it so many times this year itself. So it's like, why aren't authorities taking more action, you know? And then of course there's even people still going ahead throwing their garbage around. Like, you think your actions don't do anything, but it's affecting other people's lives.
Yes, definitely. I don't know how to say this because I do work with the government, but one thing I know for sure is like protecting the environment costs a lot of money.
That's one thing
that all the factory owners, they agree on, they don't want to spend that kind of money. But they can definitely filter the air before they're releasing the emission, or filter the water, all the chemical stuff before they're releasing back to the sea. Instead of like straight up releasing everything came from the factory, you know, it's straight way more harmful. You know, there's one very interesting experiment somewhere in the US. It was a river that a lot of hunters, a lot of fishermen loves to go there and fish. The fish were very huge at first, everything. Then suddenly the river becomes more, it becomes a weird kind of greenish. You know, it's not the normal we saw green. It becomes a little bit weird kind of greenish color. And then people are still fishing over there. And then suddenly after like 5 to 10 years time, you know, from the father to the son, those period time, they used to fish over there, and the lake used to have a lot of fishes, like big fishes, big sizes. And then when their son and their friends came to fish, all those fishes getting lesser and smaller. Then eventually the authorities came over and went and checked the water, and then they found out that the water was heavily affected by all sort of chemicals. And then they also managed to check experimenting on those fishes in that lives in that water. So they find out one very interesting fact, that there is male and female fish, right? Then they reproduce. They found out that the fish, even the male fish, have female genitals in them.
Oh, what? That's weird.
Yeah, it becomes very weird. And then they went into a more deep testing of what sort of chemical that affected them in the water. They realized, like, well, you know when transgender, you know, when a man, they want to become a woman, that kind, they have some sort of pills. They took some medication on that. And sometimes, you know, when human went to the toilet, they pass out their waste. You know, the way sometimes the chemical does not dissolve completely in their stomach. And sometimes people throw directly like those expired medication into the river directly. They throw out all the trash like what we discussed just now. And those medicine chemicals that actually affected the life forms inside the river.
Wow.
So the fishes can't reproduce properly, and because of chemical effect, they can't reproduce properly and they become DNA affected. They no longer become as huge as what they used to back in those periods during the father's period when they're fishing up. So yeah, it affecting so heavily that it becomes weird. Well, luckily the fish wasn't a weird looking one. I'm sure there's other places, but that is one of the shocking experiments that I read on the article.
Oh my goodness. Terrell, what do you think about that?
I mean, like, there's still some hope for the fishes, at least. I mean, that also goes to show, like, whatever you throw in the sea, you know, it will affect every single life form that's in there. Then, obviously, there was genetic mutation, and obviously, all the fishes couldn't reproduce properly. So, that goes to show to the ones who's transgender. Nah, just kidding. I'm just kidding,
I'm just kidding.
No. We're not going to go that far, but...
So, you can see, like, how heavy this will become, you know, this affect us. Can you imagine, like, if we live there, we eat that kind of fish?
I wouldn't know what that feels like, honestly.
That's what I want to point out. Like, you know, can you imagine, like, if people fish it, or you bought it from a fish market, and then you just cook it and eat that kind of fish?
The cycle, man. It's a cycle.
The survival of the fittest.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just kidding. Well, guys.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways... we've come to the end of our show. We're grateful to have Dylan today for sharing us the awareness of sea life and the environment itself. So we're grateful to have you in our wonderful podcast here today. How do you feel now at the end of the episode?
I feel still pretty excited about sharing articles or news that I read. But yeah, thank you for Dilly Talks for reminding me, for helping me to spread this awareness of how we can treat our own streams, river and ocean better. Because there's one very important, you know, spreading awareness to protect green lives, is even aquatic life, is a very huge, wide topic. You know, we haven't even mentioned about trees, you know, like sands or soil in the land.
Yes.
But sea is definitely something that everybody loves. You know, everybody loves to go to sea. Probably not now, but, you know, people love to go hiking and sea. So I want to focus on sea because I enjoy swimming.
We need water, guys.
yes, we need water. Water is very important. Like I say, if we are lazy on this, there's no more tomorrow for the future generation. So thank you so much.
No worries. We're happy to have you for sure, Dylan.
I have one final comment though about the environment, guys.
Yes, go ahead.
The way a person protects the environment, it really reflects their personality.
Yes.
The way you treat people reflects your personality, but the way you treat the environment as well, it reflects who you really are. And so a good person, of course, they will treat the environment responsibly. They care about the environment, you know. So we want to embed that in people, that really the way you protect the environment reflects you as a person. It's like your way of giving to others.
It's very true, Deidre, that you point that out. And there you have it. That's the final quote of the day.
Excuse me. Okay.
Well, once again, like, thank you, Deidre, and thank you, Dylan, for sharing these wonderful thoughts about the environment.
Dylan,
especially Dylan, especially. I said especially twice.
Thank you.
Well, obviously, I'm the person who doesn't practice this, and it's very good that you guys share this information, because this doesn't just include Hawaii or Malaysia, but all over the world as well.
All over,
And it does help every single one of us to be more aware of the environment and to take care of it, because planet Earth is not ours. We didn't exist before animals, and animals are the ones suffering. It's fair for us to keep it clean and keep it nice for others. What I meant by others, not just people, but others as in animals as well. So there you have
it. True. That was the final thought from Terrell.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Once again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to DT Talks Season 2. So please be sure to follow us on our social media platform, Facebook, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music as well. So thank you so much for supporting, and also be sure to share our content as well. So yeah, thank you so much. Anything else from you guys?
Just keep the environment clean, guys.
All right. There we go. Thank you so much, guys. And this has been...
DT Talks.
That's a wrap.